Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing interviews with a former U.S. Air Force Master Sergeant, Tom Healy, who's been told by his oncologist that he only has a couple months left to live. Tom Healy would listen into the Russians. He was stationed in Vietnam, in Tripoli, at the Pentagon, and he would protect America's nuclear weapons as they were being transported around the country. What a life he has led. And in our last three programs, we talked about apologetics, the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and healing and miracles, and why it is that God refused to heal the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Trophimus, and why in the epistles, even though there was a transition time from Israel to the body of Christ where God had authorized miracles, the epistles actually do not record specific instances of the Apostle Paul healing anyone or any historic report like that. Our third program was on predestination and those who claim it's your time or it's not your time to go. And so what an honor it is now to have Tom Healy back on Bob and Yurt Live. Welcome, Tom.
Hello, Bob, and hello to your listening audience.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good because I had a blood transfusion recently, and I requested 18-year-old blood.
Very smart. Hey, Tom, we talk quite a bit throughout the week, and I could tell as you're leading up to your next blood transfusion that you really go into a low-energy stage.
Yes, this disease is very aggressive, and they don't have a cure for it. But I got a little bit of good news very quickly. I don't want to bore your audience with this, but the doctor is going to try me out on a trial starting Monday. And if it's successful, and it could kill me, but that's okay. I'm ready to go be with the Lord.
Wow.
But if it's successful, it'll give me, maybe up to a year more to live.
Wow.
But he said that my body will continue to deteriorate because they just don't have a cure for it, you know.
Wow.
So anyway.
So, Tom, thank you for sharing that. And maybe I could share with you something you probably know, you might not. I called your wife, Madeline, last week just before we did our last interview. And I asked her. You weren't there. She was out running an errand. And I said, Madeline, could you talk to me about Tom doing these interviews? Because, you know, Tom, you and I have been friends for many, many years now, close friends. We travel together. We get together at your home, at our home. And from all I can tell, you want to share what's important to you at this time in your life. But I wanted to ask Madeline, is this a good idea? Should we back off? Should we do these interviews? And Madeline said to me, Bob, this is so important. This is all heavy on Tom's heart that he could reach as many people as he possibly can. The interviews are a joy. They're an encouragement. So please keep doing them. So is that your perspective, Tom?
Yes. In fact, before I leave, I'm writing letters to everybody that I know who is unsaved or I'm not sure they're saved. And Madeline is going to make sure they get the letters.
Wow. Well,
and there's some people I'm coming down pretty hard on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a former Master Sergeant, Tom, I think you've earned the right to.
Yes. Yes.
So, Tom, you and I have discussed, we mentioned to the audience that we want to talk about salvation and we want to talk about criminal justice. But before we do that, can we just update the previous topic, the last interview, on whether or not everything is predestined, whether it's your time? We went through Psalm 139 and showed that that psalm is not referring to the day that you die. It's referring to the day that you're born. It's fetology. It's the development of the baby in the womb, which many Christians have misunderstood to think that God has planned out their whole life, and including the day that they die. But my wife, Cheryl, said this, Tom, when she heard the show and she heard your friend saying he believes that everything is predestined, Calvinism, and that God has set the day that you're going to die. And when your friend said to you, it's not your time, Tom, it's not your time, Cheryl asked, how in the world would he know? How would he know? And that was a good question.
Oh, certainly, yeah. Certainly. But we're so, Christianity is so confused on so many things. And maybe, I'm sure that when you and I get to heaven, there are things that we'll find out that we were confused on.
Oh, yeah. But, Tom, you're not kidding. We constantly ask God to search us and know our ways and try to help us understand the truth and correct us where we're wrong.
I'll tell you, the biggest confusion I find is when I used to go to this gym in Canton. It's a rehabilitation center for heart patients and people with replacement knees and what have you. Mm. So I would meet these old timers in, after taking a shower, and they had just come from the heart rehabilitation center where they had had a heart attack. And so I thought, well, here's a chance to witness, and I'd say, how you doing, old timer? We'd talk, and I'd say, well, the good news is where you're going if your heart stops, right? You know where you're going. And I was astonished at how many of them, were 80, 90 years old, and they didn't know if they were saved.
Wow.
I mean, they'd say, well, I hope so. I like to think I'd go to heaven because, I haven't really done anything wrong, And so what I started doing, Bob, is I typed up a short paper with all of the Bible verses. Mm-hmm. And after I witnessed to them, I'd give them the paper. I'd say, now read this because this is God's word. But there's so much confusion. You hear phrases like "take Jesus into your heart." Mm-hmm. You got a God-shaped hole in your heart or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to ask your listeners to get a pencil and paper.
Yeah,
I'm gonna give some Bible verses.
Yeah, well, that sounds great because there's so much superstition, Tom, even among Christians who believe in God, and then there's so little understanding of what God actually said. Could I give one example from this past Sunday of the superstition? It was on the national stage. In fact, it was during a Sunday afternoon football game at the NFL, the Chicago Bears. Kicker, you might have heard about this, Cody Parker, four times he kicked, he hit the uprights four times, the goalpost. It was...
heard that.
Yeah, it was two field goal attempts and two extra points. I mean, you couldn't be closer, And he hits it four times, and he is a Christian. I thank God that he's a Christian. He believes in the Lord. So here's what he said, and you can imagine that in the comments on the reports online... people were mocking him and God. Here's what he said. I've just got to trust in what I'm doing and trust that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, makes no mistakes. And for whatever reason that is, that was the day I was supposed to have. I'm just on to the next one. So what in the world? He's blaming Jesus for missing two extra points.
Well, maybe he wants the owner of the team to fire Jesus.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, Tom, I hope he doesn't murder anyone because he would say, well, that's just the day I was supposed to have.
Yeah, well, I was decreed.
Yes.
Decreed.
It's so much superstition, but yeah, let's hear what God actually says in his word.
First of all, you'll only find a pure grace gospel with no works and no law keeping It's a gift, but you'll only find it in the writings of Paul.
Wow.
Okay? And Paul, here's what Paul says. He says, to get saved, he says, this is Romans 10:9-10, and he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Mm.
And so I thought, well, that's good. When I was giving it to these old codgers at the gym, I said, now I'm going to educate them a little bit further. When we make this this confession of faith, Paul writes, for by one spirit we were baptized into the body of Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, slaves or free. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:13.
So when we trust in Christ, we trust in his death and resurrection, and then the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. That is, we're now identified with Christ in his body, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, so that circumcision and all that is no longer relevant.
Yes, and I want to, all people, all members of the body of Christ are believers.
Mm-hmm.
There's no unbelievers. They're all, to get in, you got to believe.
Right, right. There may be unbelievers in your church, but there are no unbelievers in the body of Christ.
Right, and it's an international entity. You know, if a Chinaman, when a Chinaman accepts Jesus Christ now, under Romans 10:9-10.
Now, you're old school, Tom, I know. I don't know if we could say that today. So if a Chinese gentleman trusts in Christ.
Okay, Chinese gentleman. He is my brother in Christ.
Yes.
And I don't care whether he's an Eskimo.
That's right. Hey, Tom, you can't even say that anymore. Anyway, there's too much political correctness. So a First Nation person. So whoever around the world, God had a national covenant with Israel, but the gospel of grace is an international covenant with anyone who trusts in Jesus Christ.
Whether Jew, Gentile, slave, free, male, female, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Once you believe, and also this, it even gets better now. Once in the body of Christ, we are secure. Mm. We cannot lose our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
In him, you trusted. And here are the verses, and I'll just to save time.
Yeah.
Ephesians 1:13-14. Ephesians 4.
Well, let me mention these. Ephesians chapter 1, speaking of the gospel of your salvation, which you believed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption. So when we believe, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption. Yeah.
Yes.
And you mentioned Ephesians 4. I'm turning, as you say these verses in my Bible here, Ephesians 4, verse 30, the Apostle Paul writes, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So that's repeating that same truth.
Yeah. So anyway, you're secure in your salvation, and you can't lose your salvation because you are not saved under the law. You're not saved for good works. You're not saved for how well you keep the law. This is a free gift from God. There's nothing you can do to earn it, and there's nothing you can do to lose it.
Tom, with the gospel of grace, it's unlike what the Bible says previously, he who endures to the end shall be saved. With the gospel of grace, grace is unmerited favor. And what's so amazing is that Jesus, he came teaching love. He came teaching faith. He came to teach us to be born again. But there is one word that he never uttered, at least according to the record of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not once do they report Jesus uttering the word grace. Not one time, but the Apostle Paul was given the dispensation of grace by God for us in the body of Christ, and he uses grace inordinately, so significantly as compared to the entire rest of the Bible.
Yes, he makes some astonishing statements. For example, he calls it my gospel.
Mm.
I said, wow, first time I read that, I said, wait a minute, my gospel?
Yeah, why would Paul call the gospel of grace my gospel? Why would he say, and I know you know these verses, Tom,
yep.
Why would he say, follow me as I follow Christ? Why would he say that I'm the first person to receive mercy from God? Why would he say these things? It's because he's talking about the dispensation of grace, the covenant of grace, which to Israel, God gave the covenant of circumcision. And then to us in the body of Christ, we have the covenant of uncircumcision, Paul calls it, or the covenant of grace. Of course, people have been learning about this on the air from us for 27 years now. But Tom, some people have ordered my life's work. It's called The Plot, An Overview of the Bible. And wow, the impact that that Bible study has made on thousands of people all over the country and around the world has been so encouraging to us. And it's helped us stay on the air all these years also, because when people purchase that, and we do make it available, if people can't afford it, we say whatever you can afford. And we always have offered a 30-day money-back guarantee. And if somebody's not a Christian, we send to them our Mount Moriah DVD for free. But the revenue then from the plot, whether the written book or the audio teaching, it's downloadable, it's on CDs and so on, that all has helped us reach more and more people now for decades.
You know, I was just going to mention that if people want to really get in depth on the grace gospel, it's in your writing, The Plot, and it's in the chapter, The Tree.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, I've learned more from that chapter than I have next to the Bible.
Tom, you're referring to in The Plot, chapter 8 is titled The Tree.
Yeah.
And, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's where the trouble all began. And then Jesus hung on a tree, and there is so much that is so significant in the Bible, Old and New Testament, about the tree. And God is telling us a lot, but often, you know, you got to put it together. You got to study to show yourself approved, the Bible says. And God appointed some to be teachers to then encourage others to study on their own.
You know, when you read, you got to look at Paul's letters as a will. You know, you've been mentioned in God's will, and now you got to get into the details and find out all of the blessings you get under Paul's gospel of grace. I mean, when you really get into it, you find out, wow, I'm not even under the law.
Right. So as a will, you're talking about that we inherit from God the riches in Christ, and we are citizens of the heavenlies. And so Paul, he's the only one in the Bible, Tom, who says all these things about we're not under the law. The law is a ministry of death. The law is a ministry of condemnation. The Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. The law gives passion to your evil desires. And he says there's nothing wrong with the law itself, but because of who we are after Adam and Eve fell, therefore the law kills us. And so we have something so much better than the Ten Commandments. And the law is made for unbelievers to lead them to Christ. But once you have Christ, you no longer need the law.
You know, Bob, I was in a church one time, the pastor got up and started saying we're under tithing. And I said, well, Jesus put the tithing under the law.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul says we've been delivered from the law, and Jesus nailed the law to the cross.
Yeah.
So I said, we can't be under tithing laws.
Wow.
And there was a woman in back of the church. she got up. She says, I want you to know that my husband and I, we tithed. We're faithful. And she just went on bragging.
Yeah, yeah.
And so from reading your plot, you know, I didn't say it to her because I didn't want to embarrass her. But I was thinking, you know, you are so puffed up because you're keeping one small law.
Yeah.
You are so puffed up.
Yeah, and that's the problem with legalism is that when you're putting yourself under a law that God has not put you under, then either you're keeping it, which the Bible, Paul says, that puffs you up, or you break the law and then it condemns you. So
yeah,
you can't
win. And I was thinking, Bob, you know, right now your husband's got a good job and you're able to tithe every month. And I says, what happens next month if your husband loses his job and you cannot tithe because you got to feed your kids?
Right.
And I thought to myself, the law serves up dessert.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, right.
It condemns you.
Yeah, that's...
You run from...
That's absolutely true. So instead, what God wants us to do is give cheerfully and let the peace of God rule in your heart to determine how much to give. Now, Mormonism proves that you don't actually have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in order to tithe. Cultists are really good at tithing. All it takes...
Yeah, you only need a calculator.
Yeah, you have a calculator. You figure out, okay, here's how much I have to remit. But in the gospel of grace, when you're not under the law, then all your actions are based on your relationship with God and with your family and your neighbors. And so let the peace of God rule in your heart. You can't do that. You can't give that way apart from exercising your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. And you know... Another example I give, and this is from your teaching, is that the guy, the woman gets in her husband's car in the morning because hers is not working, and she pulls down the visor, and there's a note there, remember, do not commit adultery.
Oh, boy.
And
she's going to have a heart attack. Tom, she's going to have a heart attack.
But here's what's interesting. If you teach a Bible class, the women get this immediately.
Right.
It goes over the men's head.
Yeah, yeah. I can picture that. Or if you have a babysitter and you come home and you see that the babysitter wrote a note and put it on top of the crib and it said, remember, do not kill the baby. How's that going to make you feel? So it's the same exact thing with our relationship with God. God wants the law to bring us to Christ and then love to bring us deeper in, further in. And if you're under the law, the Apostle Paul, and only Paul, describes the law as a ministry of the flesh, a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of death. And he's talking about the Ten Commandments. He says the law written and engraved on stone. So we're not misunderstanding his point. In fact, he says the Ten Commandments are symbolized not by Sarah, the free woman, but by Hagar, the bondwoman. And he said not by Isaac, the son of promise, but by Ishmael, the son of the flesh. So here's the Apostle Paul saying something that, Tom, no self-respecting Lutheran pastor could ever possibly understand, that the Ten Commandments are symbolized by Hagar, and by Ishmael, and by the flesh, and they're a ministry of death and a ministry of condemnation.
Yeah, the first time I read that in your plot, I was surprised.
Mm.
But, you know, getting back to the scenario with the visor, the reason the woman is upset is that she knows, women know these things instinctively where it goes over her men's heads. But she's thinking, the only reason that he's being faithful to me is not because he loves me, but because he's afraid of breaking that law and getting caught.
Right, right.
Isn't that the way
yes.
it goes?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so there is a difference between law and grace. I know that that's shocking to many people, and many who disagree with all this, they want to take the law and grace and they pretend that they're the same thing. Guess what? There's a big difference, and it's in Paul's epistles that we find out that that difference is central to understanding the gospel of grace and how we are to live our Christian life in the same way that we were saved, not by the law, but we live by grace.
And, you know, God, just as a woman would not want a relationship with her husband based on the law, motivated by the law, instead of love for her, God, too, wants a relationship with us, not based on law or, you know, because we have to do it.
Right.
And, but our motivation is love for God and love for our neighbor.
Yeah.
If you love your neighbor, you know, he doesn't need to lock his house. He doesn't need to guard his wife.
Right. And, right. So, Tom Healy, we are about out of time, but that's good news because that means that we could do a separate program on God's criminal justice system, which is one of your passions and one of mine. So, boy, do I look forward to that, Tom.
Well, I was in federal law enforcement, and I went to the Federal Academy down in Georgia. And after, when I read your teaching on that, I said, wow.
All right, Tom, I look forward to this. Please tell Madeline that we all here at BEL said hello. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Hey, this is Bob Enyart. Christmas is coming up, and if you have people that you want to give a gift to, but you'd also like to give them something that they might appreciate for 1,000 years, for 1,000,000 years, forever, we have the neatest resources through Bob Enyart Live and our website, kgov.com. If you click on our store, you can browse the science department. We have the most beautiful science videos, DVDs, Blu-rays, downloadable also. Not only the ones that we produce ourselves on the global flood and the evidence against the Big Bang, but also a Fathom event in theaters nationwide, Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus. What a fabulous film that can not only strengthen your faith, but also bring faith to others. We have so many neat science videos, Living Waters, Flight, The Genius of Birds. You just go to our website, kgov.com, click on the store, and then browse. You could also browse, of course, the Bible study resources, our literature. We've got books like Dr. Walt Brown's In the Beginning, Fred Williams and I, it's our favorite science book, bar none. In the Beginning by Dr. Walt Brown, and it's a beautiful gift, coffee table book. And then there's My Life's Work, The Plot, an overview of the Bible. Just go to our website or call us, 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 or kgov.com.